Good morning. Welcome back to All Villages. We're so glad again to have this time to share together, to know together of who this God is, this Jesus, and what he's doing in our hearts and our lives. And as we experience this relationship, what does true freedom look like is the kind of focus for today. And so we're going to be looking at it in a part in the scriptures that I think just really lays it out in a good way. Sometimes we have these expectations that maybe we think others have of us, or that maybe we have of ourselves, that we have to perform at a certain level. We have to do a certain thing. We have to always be good, always have everything, you know, under control. And it's not, that's not the goal. That's the thing. The goal is not for us to just be good people or do good things, even though that's going to be part of the things that God does in us. But it's that you want to obey the Lord and what he's called us to be and do. You want to lean in and be transformed from the inside out. And that's really what true freedom is in Christ, that we don't have to let our past determine our future, that our mistakes don't own us, that we have forgiveness, that he redeems us. He gives us our worth and our value. Everything that we are is found in him. Last week, we went through 1 Peter. This week, we're going to kind of look at a section in 2 Peter. But last week, we looked at how God gives us a new birth, and in that new birth, a new family. And in that family, we are put in a place where we can truly grow and flourish. And another aspect that's important to know is that when these letters were written, it was written after the time of Rome having a major fire, to the point where the Christians were accused of actually starting it, which then launched even, I mean, there was always a little uneasiness about those Christians. They don't participate in the idol worship. They don't buy all the meat. Our economy's being hit, in other words. There's so many things that they're doing that's kind of challenging our way of life. And then when this fire broke out, they just said, okay, it's now illegal. And so wherever Christians were, they could easily be, at the very least, arrested and beaten and tortured. But a lot of times, they were killed. And so there was a lot going on in that time period. But this 2 Peter does so much more than just tell us about, keep the faith, which is, again, perseverance was a big part of 1 Peter. But this is a challenge for us not to get caught up in religion. And what I mean by that is the opening part of 2 Peter really unpacks for us what it looks like to be God's people, his hands, his feet, and how to live out this life with God, that he invites us to participate with him and stuff. And so there's some remarkable things in that. But, you know, a lot of times we might think of religion, again, as just, okay, what does God want from us? What am I supposed to do? What hoops am I supposed to jump through? Where am I supposed to go? We have this immersed Bible here, right? And it was just shared with me before we started today that Steve had it on his desk. And when someone came in, they saw it and they're like, you read that? And he's like, well yeah, I read it. And they're like, don't you? Guy's a Christian. And yet he's never made that connection of how important it is to know God's word, to know God's story and how we fit into it. And that's the hope, that as we read through the immerse, that as we read through the various books in the New Testament, that we start to have new eyes to see what God has for us, what he wants to do in us and through us, what he has already done for us, and how to live into that. And so we hope and pray that this isn't just a thing that you got to do, but you get to do. It's not something you have to do, but you want to do. That there's a change in you and in me, that we become transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so I just hope and pray that that'll encourage you as we begin. But before we get to our text, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for you. Thank you for who we are in you. We pray, Lord, that you would guide our thoughts, our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to us now. Do a deep work that we so desperately need, so that, again, that we can be the people you've called us to be. We're so grateful, Lord, for this time. In your name, amen. So jumping kind of into it, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. There's a lot of verses here, okay, but just kind of narrowing the focus a little bit, giving you a little bit of a kind of big picture kind of view is, I like to say sometimes 2 is greater than 1 plus 1. And what I mean by that is that 2 combined influences always have more impact than two separate influences. But once they work together, they can accomplish so much more. It's a principle we teach with our school families when it comes to with the children and the school and their faith and trying to all partner together to help pass on that faith to them. But here's something that where this kind of really plays out in Scripture, that God has not only rescued us and provided a way to have a relationship with him, but he also invites us to participate with him in growing our faith, in becoming the people God knows that we can and should become. And so try to have that in the back of your mind. Again, these two combined influences always have a greater impact than two separate influences. The text begins with this. Excuse me. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Now, this is verse 3. Okay, he's already given the greetings. He's already said hello. Man, he goes off with a bang. This would be like a kid going into the greatest toy store ever, just kind of going like, are you, like, this is, what is going on? There's a lot of things he says in these verses, verses 3 through 11, that are just a lot there. And we don't have time to unpack all of it for sure, but he's given us, by his divine power, he's given us everything we need for a godly life, how to live a life with Jesus. And so he's given kind of like a big picture here of what life can be and really what he desires for us so that we can enjoy life with God. That it's not a burden, but it's something, again, that we get to actually celebrate and live into. So again, just that he's given us everything we need to live a godly life. That might, you just kind of might back your mind go, I don't know. I don't know how much I know about what I need to know, kind of thing, right? Because you don't know what you don't know until you don't. Anyway, moving on. So he says this, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, through our knowledge. So by knowing of this Jesus and what he's done for us, right? Okay, we now know that he's called us to be his. By his glory, by his goodness, that we are his. And he is ours. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that, that'd be that special little phrase I'd say underline in your Bible. He's given us so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. Now, there's a lot happening here, but don't miss this. God has given us an amazing opportunity here to know him through our knowledge of Jesus and through our knowledge and continually growing in our knowledge of Jesus and what God's doing in him and through him. And we can know this through his word and through his church, that as we get to know him in that, we get to participate with him. That he's kind of given us a starter kit for what life in him begins with. We talked about last week how we've been given a new birth, a new family. But again, we're not meant to stay a baby. God has called us to grow up in him. And in this verse, we're going to see how he kind of lays out the food on the table so that we can know what we need to partake of, how we can actually partner with what God's doing in us to actually be nourished so that we can actually rise to the occasion, that we can walk where he calls us to go. So in this starter kit, know this, it's a gift. It's been designed. It's been given to you. It's a gift. We just have to receive it. And then we actually have to then use it. Okay? So understand, it's beautiful when we can actually do it. He wants us to flourish in him. Okay? But he's given us this gift. He says, now, go for it. Stretch your legs a little bit, right? Maybe if you ever gotten a bike, maybe when you were a kid and you got a brand new bike, man, you could not wait to get on that bike until you had your first crash, and then you were kind of maybe like, I don't know, you know. but in this bike, you know, having this gift to you, it doesn't do any good sitting in the garage. No, it actually, you have to use it to really enjoy it. And this is what he's going to kind of lay out on that table for us to help us understand what he wants to do, because he wants to warn us that there's some challenges that we could easily kind of lose our focus, get off track before we can maybe know that God has a place for us and he's working in us. But we have to be aware, and we have to, again, use what he's given us. He goes on to say this, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires, these things that lead us astray, lust could be one of those things. And some translations actually use the word lust. These things that draw us, that never really satisfy, but they draw us. They look pretty. They look shiny. Oh, wow, how about that? And then we may partake, and then we're like, that didn't really deliver what I was hoping. And that's pretty much common in sin. It always overpromises and underdelivers. The challenge for us is to understand that it's so easy if we understand, if we're not seeing the big picture. Second Peter was written primarily to help again people know that Jesus is coming back, and that in his coming back there will be a judgment. There will be, you know, are you living a life that honors him, that reflects his goodness and his love, or are you living off in the way of the world? Are you living in a way that doesn't honor God? It's not the way God intended. And it's not to make anyone feel bad. That's not the goal. The goal is to, again, help our hearts turn back to him, to surrender to him. There was a teaching in that time period where Peter's trying to address it, saying, listen, just because he hasn't come back yet doesn't mean he's not coming back. And he talks about how the Lord is so patient that he doesn't want any to perish. He doesn't want anyone. He's given people time to repent, to turn back to him, to turn their hearts to him. And he's like, listen, if you're a follower of the Lord, especially don't turn away. You know what it is to eat at the banquet table. You know what it is to be invited to this amazing celebration. Don't trade it in for something that perishes so quickly. So then he puts it back on them of, now that you got to do something. Now God's giving you this gift. Now what are you going to do with it? For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now again, just want to kind of add to our faith. It's not adding to God's grace. Let's just be crystal clear here. Sometimes that makes people a little uncertain when it comes to this text. Ooh, I don't like how Peter says that. You know, listen, let me be crystal clear. Grace plus anything does not equal grace. We are rescued by him, for him, to him. We are his. There's nothing we could have done on our own to earn our way back to God. This is not that focus. I think Peter might be even trying to help people that might have kind of, the pendulum has been swinging. Paul has talked about how the law does not overtake us. The law is not something that we have to surrender to anymore. But in that, it's kind of like, you know, we're covered by grace, and no matter what, God will never let us go. And he's absolutely right. But some people had taken that teaching and kind of going, well, then it doesn't matter about judgment. You know, God's going to love us no matter what. So let me be clear. God does love us no matter what. Okay? That got that, right? God loves us no matter what. He accepts us no matter what. But he still holds us accountable to our choices, our actions, even our thoughts. And so he's not saying that you add to anything to get to God, but that his grace is sufficient and it covers everything forever and ever. But it's about our hearts learning to be, well, learning our lives, being learning to be transformed and renewed, and to learn to walk in the way of Jesus, to live an obedient life in him. That's where true freedom happens. Not that we can do whatever we want to do. That's just exchanging our freedom in Christ for another type of slavery. And so we have to understand that slavery is not something God wants us to experience and live into. No, he wants us to add to goodness to our faith, and to goodness, knowledge. And I love how he adds kind of these virtues. He just lays these out. And to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. Now, I might be going too quick here, but you know, might want to underline those that you're like, ooh, I need to work on this one. My family probably would say self-control because I can sometimes push buttons, but again, they're not here, so I'm just going to keep going. Self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. And notice how these kind of add to each other, right? They just, as we work, as we grow, we're seeing these lead us somewhere. These aren't just random, I believe. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. These virtues, these goals of what a life well-lived in Jesus looks like, of how we partner with him, understand, it's not about this moral effort. Effort isn't to enhance or decorate our faith so it looks pretty. It's not so that we look like good people. No, it's about us exercising our faith through these means. Think about that again. Let me just kind of go through them again. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, to mutual affection, love. These virtues are for us to, again, be that means of exercising to grow in our faith. And so if there's an area that you're like, man, I don't really know a lot of the scripture, or I don't know if I've really read all the scripture. Well, that's a great part to start working on, okay? And to that knowledge, again, and you just keep adding in those areas that you're like, Lord, and that's the part where we don't have to carry this, like we have to carry this, right? No, it's a part for us to go, Lord, where do you want me to go in this? Where do I need to grow up? And now help me to do that. Provide the people for that. We started these microgroups a little bit ago. Several of you have jumped in there, and I'm so glad. We're praying for you. Keep it up. But if you haven't joined one, you should check it out. Reach out to the church. Every Wednesday, 5 o'clock, through our newsletter on our website, you can find it under the news. There'll be a link in there that you can connect, and I'll talk you through what a microgroup is and what these groups do and how to get one started, as well as kind of how to actually kind of work through it. But know this, it'll add so much to your understanding of who God is, and also be encouraged by one another. It's something I look forward to every week, my microgroup, and how we're connecting and what we're talking about and so on. But just know that you're not supposed to do this on your own. It's always understood that we're to be in this together as a family. He goes on to say this, for if you possess these qualities, these virtues, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Wait a minute. Effective and unproductive. These qualities, as we continue to develop and grow them, stretch them, the growing, the grace that we need to continue to grow in our faith, that God is helping us to not be ineffective or unproductive. No. In your knowledge of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Lord, again, saying he's got authority in our lives, and he's the one true king. He wants you and I to be fruitful, to be effective. For at least since the beginning of this pandemic, and when we've been meeting via online, I have just tried to, with all my heart, encourage you that God wants our lives to be fruitful, that He's created us so that we may grow up in him and out to help others. And as we grow up in him, we will bear fruit. Our lives will show the goodness of God to others. Our lives will be like a sweet aroma. Think of your favorite thing cooking and just how it draws you in. Think of the most beautiful landscape you've ever seen, how you could look at it all day. Our lives are to be that way for others to know and see God in this amazing Jesus. And so he wants your life to be fruitful, and he's trying to help us here. Peter's trying to help us to really know how to live in him by what we have to do on our part to add to our faith, not God's grace, but our relationship in God, how it can grow. Think of this as kind of like tending it, watering it, pulling out the weeds, fertilizing it. This is allowing it to truly grow strong and fertile. But, and he kind of gives this warning, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. Yikes. Right? That's So if we're on this journey of following God, right, understand this, nearsightedness and blindness is not good for the journey, right? Ask anyone that struggles in seeing, and they're going to have challenges in following where people are leading. No. But whoever does not, again, have them, these qualities, who are adding to them, to their faith, is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. In other words, he's like, listen, you're going back to the way your life was before God, before Jesus rescued you. And he's like, you're going to be blind. You are blind. Like, what good is that? You can't live in that way anymore. So stop. Stop it. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Make every effort. Again, you're not adding to God's rescue. No, you're confirming God's call in your life. It's not, we are called, okay? We are called by him, to him, and for him. But we're not confirming this call to God. He wants us to confirm it to ourselves. This is to help us No, without a doubt. Another phrase would be the assurance of faith. To know that God holds us securely, and when we partner with him and we work with him and we grow in those qualities, that our lives will actually be aligned with what he's doing. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Think about that blindness, nearsightedness, right? He's trying to kind of really unpack this kind of almost metaphor he's given us. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That as we lean in and learn and grow, we will become the people God's called us to become. And that takes us to completely surrender everything to him. I don't know where that lands for you. I don't know the challenges you're facing, the temptations, the trials, or maybe you're just tired. Maybe you're experiencing this whole kind of just, you just are done with this pandemic thing, right? You're done with trying to follow protocol. You're like, I don't care anymore. I really think it's kind of that mindset that Peter's kind of talking to this group. They've experienced so many challenges, so much suffering at the hands of the government, the authorities. And they got some teachers now that are in there kind of really undermining and really changing the core teachings of what the apostles were teaching, to the point where they're like, it's kind of like, well, do whatever you want. You know, Jesus isn't really coming back. You know, they were wrong about that. And he's like, no, he's coming back. Just because you think he's slow doesn't mean he is slow. And he has this beautiful phrase, like, 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. A day is like 1,000 years. That there's, God is outside of time. We feel sometimes like, man, it's taking God forever. And the reality is, listen, you don't know my timing. I'm not done. Don't quit running the race. Keep focused, keep leaning in, keep being the people God's called you to be, and you'll experience that freedom that he's always promised that we can have in him. We're going to take a moment and I want you to, in this time of singing and praise, to also take time to just be still before the Lord, pray, and let God minister to you about what exactly he wants to do in you and where this needs to rest with you today. A final word, short and sweet, true freedom is only found in obedience. That when we lean into what God has for us, when we become the people God's called us to be, we can truly experience the freedom he's always meant for us. So when you're feeling tired of running, when you're feeling tired of these virtues, of adding to your faith, these virtues, these qualities that help us to grow in godliness, to help us to grow into loving others and loving God. They all lead to that, by the way. And when you're truly loving others and loving God, all those are obviously part of your life, okay? It's a good litmus test for you. But true freedom is found only in obeying God's commands of how to live and how to love others. Some of you might be thinking, I forgot the homework. I didn't, because now we're going to start adding it to the end, just so you don't forget. And so this next week, because next week we're going to start in John, the book of John. And so last week gave you John chapter 1-4. So if you didn't get those finished, get those caught up, then this gives you another week to kind of wrap into that. But we're going to be reading through the book of John up to Advent. And so that's the end of November. And so we want to invite you to do that. So John chapters 5-8, it's only 4 chapters. There's 7 days, so you can do the math. There's a little more freedom there for you. But so 1-8 is what we're kind of, you know, so we'll be digging into John for the next 5 weeks, next 5 Sundays. But we just hope and pray that God encourages you in this time of knowing who God's called you to be in him, of experiencing true freedom in him. And now we're going to be looking at a totally different perspective of how Jesus lived through the eyes of John. And so be encouraged by that. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace. Go in his love. And go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you next week.